I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Payroll. I've been there. Payroll.
Corrupt career politicians.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Shift. Welcome to the Hashtag MoLeds podcast. Just like the sender said, trying to make tomorrow just a little bit better than today. We're downtown St. Louis at the offices of the Kelly Group. We have the cool wooden table conference room that some of you are familiar with. Becky Lohman has not left. I assumed you would have blown
back
this off
again.
Long time ago. Before we get started, I just have to say we're taping this on Wednesday afternoon. This is we're going to probably be a little off, not just because Mike's office could bring out the psychedelic side in people, but it's because, you know, the Cubs. The freaking Cubs. I hate them. I just hate them. And it's an emotional night for everyone in St. Louis, every real Cardinal fan. It was salt in the wound with Eric Greitens taking Cubs money and then all the Republicans holding a microphone paid for by the Cubs. It's just an emotional time, and if we're off, that's what it is. But we always want to start off thanking our sponsors, Republic Services, the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce, and the Carpenters Union. And I want to introduce our guests we've wanted to have on for a while now. We're at the Kelly Group, and we have the Mike Kelly, Michael Sean Kelly, Camo X fame, TV fame, Fox 2. What else? I'm sure you have other accolades you'd like to add.
Political hack.
Political hack. Yep, political hack. Mike, thanks for joining us on the MoLeds podcast. I know the Missouri legislature is a favorite thing of yours.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have an embarrassing legislature. I mean, when you look around the state, we have all these ridiculous needs that we all know about, whether it be roads or bridges, education. And we're worried about gay birthday cakes and which bathroom people use. And it's just unbelievable to me that that a lot of people continue to finance people to go to Jefferson City and work on nonsense and not the real issues that we're all facing.
You know, Michael, I will say this, though. They've had a pretty similar agenda for three or four cycles now, and the voters keep returning more Republicans.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And maybe it's because the press needs to do a better job educating the Republicans on what are the voters on what the Republicans are up to in Jeff City.
I blame the media too. I think that's
I always blame the media. It's
crooked. Yeah, I hate the media.
Yeah,
it's
crooked.
Safe. Let's talk about the polling numbers we got back this week. Our last polls for the election, we did it Tuesday night. 1,700 Missourians were polled. Came back in the presidential race, Donald Trump 12 points over Hillary Clinton. Mike, you see a lot of polls. Where do you see that race?
I don't buy it. I think he will win Missouri, but I think it's a single digit, maybe 7 points up in Missouri from the polling that I've seen. And those would be live calls as opposed to the touch dial polling, which I think is a little more scientific.
You think it's around 7, really?
Uh-huh.
So the same poll, the same 1,700 Missourians, they have Eric Greitens. He took the first lead in the race, 46-45.
Machine gun Eric, huh? He's yep. moving up in the polls. Look, I mean, isn't it interesting that Missouri, of all states, is going to be the most expensive contest, is going to take place right here between Chris Koster and Eric Greitens. That's really interesting to me to see so much money coming into Missouri. And you have to wonder what this is really all about.
What is it all about?
Well, I think there's several theories, right? It could be a political agenda that's being executed by both parties, or it's two men that people think that can really rise in their party and someday potentially be a national star. And so I think what you have going on is leadership out of Washington and interest groups trying to kill both of these guys, depending on what side they are, early so that they don't have to face them later.
One of the folks that lost in the primary told me that they felt like that the general election would be two people who are the winner would run for president.
It's probably likely. I mean, they're both quality people. If you look at them, I mean, Eric Greitens is an interesting guy who's done a lot of good things in his life. He doesn't really have that much administrative experience. He has zero government experience. And when you hear him go to debates and say that he wants to hire somebody else to run the state, you have to wonder why he's running for governor. But when you look at his personal story, it is quite compelling. And Chris Koster, I mean, this is probably the ultimate centrist candidate we've ever seen, especially in this radical year where we see Democrats running to the far left and Republicans running to the far right. I think Chris really represents that mushy middle of people who want to see things get done. And then when you look at him, he's like watching an episode of The West Wing.
Yeah, and, you, and, I'm, and Eric Greitens owns greitensforpresident.com. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah.
So for sure, one candidate has his eye on the White House at some point. Otherwise, I don't know that I own Becky Lohman for president, but I should probably buy that URL.
I already got it.
Oh, you already got it?
Mm-hmm.
I think I actually own my own BeckyLohman.com.
You
as
know,
a prank.
I walked into that one.
Yeah,
yes,
I think I actually do have that.
It forwards to the company website, just so everyone's crystal clear.
What a nice person.
Thanks for that. Just giving us some promotion.
I always like to go into Becky's circle of real friends, because my friends are mostly dorks and nerds. But now,
hey,
Becky,
what are you saying?
Well, except for you, I mean,
right? Present company. Excluded.
Becky like has like real people in her life that are like well adjusted and popular.
Scott,
where do you see?
She's not a dopey fat guy like you and I. She's a hot blonde that has really competent, smart friends.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Smart thing.
She has a better group of people,
that.
And I like to always every week. I like to ask her, "What do your friends talk about?"
So it depends on which group of friends. Last week I said I had 70-30 Clinton Trump, and I got lectured by my mother for that. So if she listens this week, I think I'll balance it out and I'll say it's closer 50-50, to be quite honest.
Mom.
Yeah, tell my mother hi. Hopefully she doesn't yell at me again.
I always think that's interesting, though. So the other poll we did this week was the U.S. Senate race. I did not, honestly, when Jason Kander did this, I thought, well, it's probably a tactical move. He's not going to win. The guy took a lead in some polls.
Yeah.
And this week we have Blunt up for, it looks to me like Kander may have took a small lead, and then Blunt had begun to stop his rise, maybe turn it around. And it looks to me like at the right now, when Hillary Clinton had her last FBI problem, it looks like that's where Blunt may have opened up a little lead.
Potentially. I think this race is a coin toss between these two, and I think you're exactly right. I mean, if you go back a year ago when Jason was first starting to announce, even as a loyal Democrat, you thought, boy, this is going to be a really tough hill to climb, especially when you're taking on an entrenched incumbent. An incumbent, period, in Washington's hard to beat. Especially one who has the pedigree that Roy Blunt does, having been a leader in the House and then moving to the Senate. He's been relatively scandal-free in his past several years. So it was interesting to see Kander put together the surge. And I have to tell you, I think it's because you have a moderate Democrat with veterans experience, being a veteran with administrative experience, but can still be that outsider because he's mainly been inside of state government. And when you're walking, running against Roy Blunt, that if you looked up entrenched insider, it's his picture right there. This race wind up shaping up nice for him. And I do believe that Jason Kander is likely to be the next U.S. Senator from Missouri.
Really?
Think about that. I mean, we're going to have a state that will elect Donald Trump by several points, Chris Koster, and Jason Kander. This is quite an interesting state we're living in.
I think Koster could buck the trend. I think it's hard to buck such a big trend in a federal race. I mean, if the president's 12, the very next thing you vote for to send somebody to Washington, I think Jason Kander deserves a ton of credit. I think he's pulled off a break off his whole team. It's been a real impressive run. I think going into the last weekend, he's down a little.
But if you look at the trend, though, what's the trend nationally is not about Democrats or Republicans. It's about outsiders.
Yep.
And when you're Jason Kander, even though you have spent 8 years in administrative office in Missouri, you're the outsider in comparison to a Roy Blunt. And when you have your gubernatorial candidate and your presidential candidate on the Republican side essentially blowing up their own party somewhat literally in their own ads – that gives Jason Kander that opportunity to really help claim that mantle as well. And I think a lot of people, particularly on the far right, are just going to vote against anybody who's been in charge. And that's ultimately a place where I think that Roy Blunt is suffering.
It does look like Roy Blunt's a little whipsaw. The top of the ticket saying everybody's terrible, you know, throw everybody out. The bottom of the drain the swamp is what Trump says now. Right under him in the governor's race, you have Eric Greitens saying everyone's not only they're corrupt and a criminal. So I think Roy Blunt is caught in an odd storm of his own party's making where, you know, how do you vote outsider, insider, outsider? It's a bit of a challenge. I agree with you.
It's the strangest election any of us have lived through, and I think we say this all the time. And, you know, we political folks who do this for a living, we don't get as sick of politics as quickly as the rest of the public does. But I don't know about you. This set in about 3 weeks ago for me where I was just done with this. It just seems to be a hostile, toxic nature that's taken place in this election cycle that I can't ever remember being like this, to the point where even people like ourselves who thrive on this stuff are just fed up.
It's hard to watch the news at this point, honestly. I've taken to the local newspapers and selectively looked at what I want to read, because the news is just, it's depressing or it's angering. That's how you leave it. You don't feel like you get more information. You feel like you get all the bowl that is kind of being shoved in down your throat by both parties. So
yeah, we're living in a strange time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have this theory that, you know, a lot of people say that the people on the far right are crazy and that they've just showed up, or the people on the far left are crazy and they've just shown up. But to me, I think those people have always been there. They've always been on the fringes and upset. But now we have these cell phones, and these people are no longer islands. They have a way to connect with each other through social media and stuff. And as
reinforces your crazy beliefs when you find another crazy out there.
Even if it's, maybe crazy isn't the best description, but even, you know, folks who want to solely focus on right to life issues, or want to solely focus on healthcare issues, or solely focus on environmental policy, now have a way to get together. And as a result, I think are playing a role in this election that we haven't seen in the past. And I primarily give the credit to the many computers we all walk around with.
We like to always primarily give the credit to the St. Louis Regional Chamber, the Carpenters Union, and Republic Services for sponsoring and making this podcast
work. I like all three of those companies.
Yep. Terrific folks, and we're very proud to have them sponsor the podcast we bring to you. Let's talk Hillary Clinton for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You have a hand in several Democratic campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a difference in Republicans were like, eh, okay, we'll vote for Trump. Now, there is some rabid Trump people. Maybe they show up, maybe they don't. Always strange to bet on people that have never done something doing it in on Election Day. But I saw a difference in the Republicans, and I saw a difference in polling and enthusiasm. It did not stop at Hillary Clinton, although she's not popular in Missouri. It was almost a little biased.
She's quite popular in Missouri, though.
Yeah, she does. Point. She does have the very few square miles of Missouri, I guess.
Hardy.
Down.
Yep.
Columbia, right there on the college where Becky lives, where your office is.
Bunch of hippies.
Yeah, maybe down and then the plaza in Kansas City. But when you get out to where real Missourians live, like West Butler County, not popular. I did see a dip after this last FBI thing. Is there something that they can bring out on Trump now to try to trump the FBI investigation?
Well, I think she's just got to continue to let Trump be Trump. He started it again today. As we speak, he's out there attacking the media, attacking some of the female reporters. I mean, the guy's just insane. And look, we're living in a state where people are upset with the way that things are going. To a lot of people, Hillary Clinton reminds them of continuing for the last 8 years. And for many of us, we think that's far better than the alternative of Donald Trump, somebody who's absolutely insane, who can't only control his thumbs but can't control his mouth.
If you're a Democrat running for office, though, and you're looking at running for the House in 2018, wow, Hillary Clinton, 10th year of an administration, oof. I mean, it's probably bad for Missouri Democrats if she's president.
I know. In fact, we need to have her as president because we all want to be alive. If we have Donald Trump as president, we're not sure if he's going to wake up mad at Vladimir Putin that day and go ahead and send out a tweet and say something or do something stupid. And that's what's interesting to me about this particular election with Donald Trump. I get the anger at Hillary Clinton. I can understand why people on the right or even people in the middle don't like her. But the alternative to be Donald Trump, an absolute insane man who said some of the most crazy things, and then to watch the support he's gathered amongst typical Republican groups like evangelicals, it just makes
no
sense.
Weird.
The clock is going backwards. What's up is down, and what's down is up.
The evangelical support to me is odd. The NRA support, I have a hard time believing Donald Trump has done a lot of hunting in his life. Those are a couple things that struck a little weird to me. I wondered why, though, some more Democrats didn't cut Hillary Clinton loose and come out against her. Is it just bad politics? Or
why would you go against Hillary Clinton? I mean, look, she's going to be the Democratic nominee. She's running against Donald Trump. That is, there really is no question here who is the most qualified. Look, Hillary Clinton is the most qualified person to run for president in decades. We have not seen somebody with this experience. You may not like her policies. She's clearly qualified. The alternative in this binary choice that we have has proven time and time again that he is unqualified to be the commander-in-chief. He's unqualified to even host a reality TV show anymore.
You can see why people don't trust her, though, right?
I can understand why people dislike her, but what I can't understand is why folks would turn their eyes and irrationally go with an absolute insane man.
All right, now we've got both of you on here. I want to ask you the question that I've wondered, I think a lot of Democrats have wondered for almost a solid week now. If you're running the Hillary Clinton campaign and you're in the room and it finds out that this letter's been sent by the director of the FBI that you've made and complimented as this very fair, good guy that says they may reopen their investigation, how do you handle that politically? What would you have told them to do?
I think they did exactly what I would have done, which was go out there and say, wow, we've never seen this before. We've seen incredible pressure from the Republican establishment on a Republican to go out there. He took horrible
criticism. Was there still
criticism.
Pressure? I mean, that was back in July.
But they kept it up throughout the entire time. I mean, they're having rallies every day saying, lock her up, when the FBI had already said
she
had done it. You don't call that pressure?
That is true.
I mean, that's just what's amazing to me is that people just allow this insanity to go off of their back. And if they took a moment, took a couple of deep breaths like your mom taught you to do when you were a kid, you would get sense back about you. And this anger, this fever that's taken over, it's just absolutely insane. And thankfully, the majority of our fellow citizens in this country are going to send Hillary Clinton to the White House. Unfortunately, Missouri's not going to be sending our 10 electoral
votes. Becky, what would you have done?
Well,
you're in the room
if there's nothing to be hidden that you're not afraid of, I would say let's wrap this up. I think she came out and said, release the information. Let's wrap this up with a bow before people can vote, because I think it's better to have a solution for her. If there's nothing to hide, then let this be drawn out past the election, because I think the question of what she's done might hurt her worse than actually finding anything that could get her into trouble.
I think part of the whole WikiLeaks stuff is this is what we all thought these people were like. The reason I think the Billy Bush, Donald Trump clip was so, you think that's who Donald Trump is. I think WikiLeaks revealed who you think Hillary Clinton is. She doesn't trust the public, doesn't really like them that much, and is pretty shady at every turn.
And that's what you'll hear folks say. People that are frustrated with Trump or Clinton will come out and say, at least Trump is who he is. We knew he was kind of this off-the-cuff guy. Yeah. So it's easier to forgive when people expect, you know, when the bar is, I guess, set a little lower. But with somebody like Hillary, who is, you know, very qualified, coming out and you kind of find that what's going on behind the curtain, I think people are more shocked than they are with Trump, which is why the backlash is harder.
Excuse me, interesting time to be alive, and what a cool time to be talking about politics when it's so insane.
I guess. I would have said it was cooler about a month ago than right now. It's just been so fatiguing.
I think, Mike, a lot of Democrats would have said it was cooler
during
a week
the
ago
primary.
Than right now.
That may be a very good point, but it's just, I don't know, we haven't really had a constructive dialogue about policy. We've had constructive dialogue about no issues. It's really been some surfacey nonsense that's really not digging in and finding out where these two people want to take this country.
All right, now the thing I'm kind of looking forward to, let's do their five questions. But first, we always like to thank the Carpenters Union, the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce, and Republic Services. Five questions with Mike Kelly. We may even go to overtime on this, but Becky, I'll let you get started.
Yeah, we can see how long we go. So are you a Pepsi guy or a Coke guy?
Neither. I don't drink soda.
Okay.
So now my question is there no way you drink soda? Mixed drink, nothing.
Nothing. Do you consider club soda soda?
No, but you don't have a whiskey Coke. You don't have
Okay. What is, I'll do a whiskey water.
What is the Mike Kelly drink? I see it in the jug a lot.
Pretty much anything.
Except soda.
Yeah, some soda. No soda.
An Anheuser-Busch product or Tito's vodka.
So when you mix a vodka and a club soda, is that what it is?
Usually vodka water with
vodka
a lemon.
Vodka water, what's the percentages there? I always see Mike in this bottle that looks like a water bottle, and I'm always very convinced there's more
That's
than water
promo.
In there.
Well,
a proper pro, yeah. a proper pour would be what, a quarter vodka, three-fourths water?
You guys are getting me ready for a happy hour.
Actually.
Are we going to happy hour?
If you think
this?
That's like the right move, I think that you've got a drinking problem a little bit. But yeah, no, that's what I thought it was vodka water, vodka club soda. I didn't know what the actual breakdown was in that water bottle. I'm sorry.
Sure but I'm not a soda fan. I gave it up for Lent in 1993, and I have not tried
not
one
a sip?
Since then.
No, wow.
Not even a sip.
That's off
Do you have
to
the
you.
Jitters when you're trying to quit?
No, it was fine. You know, you gave it up for Lent. I don't even think I really give anything up for Lent anymore.
Right?
Yeah, well, that's what she said.
I gave up exercising.
Clearly.
What's the next one?
Should newspapers endorse candidates?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, we have probably one of the most historic newspapers right here in St. Louis with the Post-Dispatch. It's established by the Joseph Pulitzer himself.
Fine German-American publisher.
Yeah, there you go. He laid out a narrative that it should not infect or be what they cover, but it should be consistent with the platform that the Post-Dispatch has or papers have. And so I think it's a good thing. It's a historical thing that's taken place. I think the Post-Dispatch is extremely fair. If you read the platform and see who they endorse, it is consistent. So
I think the Post-Dispatch is very consistent.
And you look to Kansas City, and they just endorsed...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so they just endorsed Senator Blunt, and now people are talking about them taking a more conservative spin. And so I just think it's interesting to...
So the Post is who they are. They're a very, very liberal newspaper. They cover things from a very liberal perspective, and they write editorials.
I don't think that's fair. I think when you have pieces being written or endorsement pieces, it likely is coming from a liberal standpoint, which was the platform that the Post-Dispatch was founded on. But I would differ with you in the way that they cover. I think it's far from a liberal perspective.
Well, at the very least, I think you know what you get. I think you know
whether
you think it's a liberal bench or not. I think you know.
I don't think there's anybody calling them conservative.
Right. I agree with that.
I think the Kansas City Star is very interesting. You have a paper that is maybe having some worse money problems than the Post-Dispatch has had. The Post-Dispatch is owned by a conglomerate, but it's, as far as media companies go, a very small conglomerate. Kansas City's part of a huge conglomerate. And they've hired a Wall Street Journal reporter to be the new editorial page head. They're changing that paper to be more conservative, and I thought it would be a transition, but it looks like it's going
to be... Yeah, it appears to be quick. I am ignorant. I've not read the platform of the Kansas City editorial page, so I don't know how flexible it is for them to do it, but even if you had a Wall Street Journal reporter walk into the Post-Dispatch and they truly had adhered to the platform, you're going to get left-of-center endorsements.
Sure. And I'm not sure that they matter. I think the one place I've seen endorsements really matter is Democrat primaries. I think they carry a lot of weight in Democrat primaries.
I don't know. I seem to watch a lot of Republican ads that run a lot of newspaper stories that came from the Post-Dispatch. You all like to bash the heck out of it, but at the end of the day, you all are using it in your commercials and using it in your mail. I have pounds of it here where you all cite the Post-Dispatch.
Wait, who's you all there?
Republicans. I don't know what the platform of the Missouri Times is. I just figured since you're covering the Missouri legislature and all the Democrats could fit in my minivan, that you have to be right of center.
I told you this would be a good five questions. What's the next one?
So we're just coming off Halloween, probably the warmest Halloween on record. What was the best Halloween costume you've ever worn?
Oh, boy. I was a Rubik's Cube once. I remember my mom and dad got I don't know if it was a dryer.
So you had a lot of friends as a kid then.
Yeah, I had five sisters. And
this
year
you went as Bill de Blasio?
Yeah, this year I went as Bill de Blasio. I got a great story about that. So I'm in New York a year ago with my mom and dad, and we're Ubering all around town. And so there we get, I hit the button to get the Uber car to show up. The guy pulls up, takes one look at me, and speeds away. So 2 minutes later, the next Uber guy comes up and he's like, hey, your star rating's gone down 2 stars. I don't know, I guess they can rate you as a person? I was like, why? I don't know, we've been everywhere we want. He goes, you look exactly like Bill de Blasio. And I was like, I do? And I Googled it and I was like, oh shit,
I get it. I didn't think we'd ever get it.
Ugh.
Oh, that's amazing. What have you dressed up as? Did you dress up as a... No, that
oh,
was
he
for
puts
October
that
Fest.
German leader...
Yeah, I was twice, three times a year.
I wore my later... Oh, yeah, I actually wear that a lot.
On a Friday.
I was a German beer maiden last year. Yep.
Okay.
Full dress.
What about you?
I dressed up as a Ninja Turtle in college once. And yeah, so that... Nice. It was a little boy's Ninja Turtle costume, so it wasn't what you see these college kids wear now. It was funny.
I'm going to a party this coming Saturday where I have to put on a costume, and I think costumes are for movies and kids. So I'm going to dress up as the scariest...
liberal elitist we have.
I'm going to dress up as the scariest thing I know, which is a Missouri Republican.
Welcome to the family.
What is that? What does that look like? Make sure to send us.
Scott, what are you wearing?
Part your hair, get some khakis.
Some pleated khakis.
Yeah, I'm gonna whenever I find, you know, an older person, I'll just push them out of my way.
There you go. But yep, hard, because you don't want to do it quick too. You want to do that quick move, kinda like kinda like Kevin Spacey did in his Netflix show. You want to push that guy hard in front of the train. You don't want to second guess that move. What's the next one?
Okay, the last one we've got is, who wins in a cage match, George Washington or Abraham Lincoln?
Oh, Abraham Lincoln.
Lincoln? Height, absolutely not.
Height and reach. I mean, look, the guy was so tall.
Wooden teeth. That's a rough time.
That's an excellent point.
You could get a splinter in your mouth.
Yeah, you pop me in the teeth. That doesn't matter. It's not bleeding.
Although, Abraham Lincoln was a professional wrestler.
But whenever you watch the boxing matches, they tell you what the reach is of the boxers. I mean, Abraham Lincoln, his reach had to be a good 4.5 feet.
But you also lose that kind of, you know, short and fast agility. I think you go for it at Lincoln's knees and he's out.
Two people, you know, what about Mel Carnahan in his prime, Jay Nixon in his prime?
In a cage match?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know Mel Carnahan when he was a younger man, but I've seen pictures of him and stuff. Jay was quite a good athlete. He's a tall man. He's taller than me, and he's a bigger guy. I would have to imagine Jay could overwhelm him with power.
I
want to
say
size.
Mel Carnahan would use his scrappy Southeast Missouri roots and come out of the cage first.
Yeah, I'm with Mike. I'm going to go Nixon on that one.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think basketball equates to street fight, like cage fights, but... All right, we got a minute left here.
Don't I get to ask a question in 5 questions of you guys?
Shoot it.
Becky, what is he paying you to do this? Why would you agree to go run around the state with Scott Faughn?
I think we've run out of time, haven't we? All right, we got predictions. We got 1 minute left here. Mike Kelly, the statewide races. Give me the margins. Who wins? You said Hillary 7?
I think Hillary loses by 7.
Kander, what's he? You say he
I
wins?
Think he wins in a close race.
Less than 2?
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%? Yep. What does Koster do?
I think Koster wins by 1 or 2.
1 or 2?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down the ballot. Carnahan pull through?
I think so. Name ID's hard to
really?
Beat. Name ID's hard to beat. I'm one of those people who subscribes to that if you go in and vote for a Republican or a Democrat, you're likely to do that the rest of the way down the ballot. Because really, not much attention to regular mainstream voters. Yeah. They're not able to cut through a lot
Attorney
of
the... Attorney General's race?
Well, of course, Teresa Hensley.
Treasurer's race?
Coin toss.
I thought you were going to go straight. He's tall
I'm going to break it out. Trump, 9... Grydens, 0.5 point. Blunt, a couple points. Holly probably wins significantly. Parson ekes it out. Schmidt wins by a good chunk, and Ashcroft leads.
Why don't you just say you're going to vote for all the Republicans, or that you think all
I'd
the Republicans
are going to
vote
for?
Because he likes to hear the sound of his own voice. Yeah. You have to draw it out as
yeah.
much as
yeah.
possible.
What happens? What do you think?
I think Kander's up by 2. I'm going to stay consistent with Koster at 4. I think Schmidt, Holly, who am I missing?
Ashcroft leads.
Ashcroft, yep.
Mike Kelly, thanks so much for joining us on the Hashtag Mullidge podcast. Becky, I hope you'll come back again. Don't listen to Mike. He does this with everybody.
We have fun.
Far more painless than I thought it would be.
We thank the St. Louis Chamber, Public Services, and our friends at the Carpenters Union. We'll see you next week. Yeah.